kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, May 6, 2022. So, you know, again, circling back, you know, even I think we actually talked about the facsimile of the Ark of Palmyra back in 2016, didn't we? I'm pretty sure we did. If memory serves, you know, and these things that get carried around from place to place around the world, and it's just fascinating to me. This should be the Streisand effect in full effect. You're trying to hide something in plain sight, but it's not hidden very well. It's the open conspiracy coming out into plain view. It's clearly something that has very nefarious roots. Why would you even make a thing like this? And then the explainer is always interesting. It works closely with the, you know, the Institute for Digital Archaeology. Where do they get their money? In partnership with the Dubai Future Foundation. Does any of this sound patently American to you? Preserves and reconstructs heritage objects at sites throughout the Middle East and Europe and around the world. It works closely with the UN, United Nations, UNESCO, and British Council and major universities. I mean, I don't know about you, but this just, like, alarm bell after alarm bell goes off when I hear these things. It is fitting that the arch has made its way to the place that symbolizes Roman-style representative democracy. My eye twitches just reading and saying any of this. An historical legacy that is reflected as much in the classical buildings of Washington as in the design of Palmyra's monumental classic arch. So, you know, and there's more, but the explainer never really satisfies. And it's always, you know, we hear from whoever's doing, perpetrating these things by intrigue and deception, usually. People say, and usually it's controlled opposition. Controlled opposition will say, this is an outrage, and we'll give some red herring, and which ties into some limited hangout that everyone gets sucked into, and the explainer never really explains. But it doesn't matter because no one's talking about the real issue anyway. Everyone's dealing with the red herring and over in the limited hangout. And meanwhile, the open conspiracy marches on, and in the process, well-meaning people get sucked into a red herring discussion in a limited hangout, and in the process discredit message and messenger and sort of anesthetize people to the real nature of the conspiracy or the real nature of the problem. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. So instead of protesting, you know, the Ark of Palmyra, in this case, that which, again, even Snopes says, yeah, the Ark of Baal was, you know, that, yeah, that was it. Instead of doing that, Sunday's coming, you know, somebody says it's Mother's Day. Well, you know what? Let's hug a mom, squeeze a mom, and say thank you. Back to the phones. Harold in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I really enjoy your commentary, your show. I've listened to you for years. It's the first time I think I've ever called you. But I came in from outside here about 30 minutes ago and kind of caught the backside of the lady from Fort Worth, Pat, and then I was just kind of listening, and it prompted me to give you a call. I'm sure you read the Christian press articles on the internet, Christian Post, Christian News, other sites.
Not really? Not much these days. Not really.
No, well,
honestly,
I do.
Okay.
And yes, there's not much in there. It's getting very glitzy, superficial.
It's interesting, and I'm not saying I don't because of any particular reason. I just don't. I had a, not to hijack what you're saying, but I think it ties into what you're saying. I had a conversation with a friend fairly recently who, and I think I mentioned this on the air recently, this friend said, Chris, where do you hear good, solid Bible teaching these days? And it was sort of a rhetorical question. He said, I'm hearing it less and less. These places, like these radio channels and things that I used to hear it, hearing less and less of it, almost none, you know, if any.
Well, that's, yes, and I reinforce just what you said. And that's the reason why I do look at these Christian news sites. And they're very pedestrian, and but one of the things is where you really learn about an article, because I don't have the time to read a lot of articles. Yeah. I catch the first paragraph, maybe the middle of it, and the last paragraph, and then I just go straight to the comments, because mm-hmm. there are people yeah. who do, they read the whole paragraph, or yeah. the whole article. But where I'm going with this is, I see more and more in the comments people saying, well, a lot of these ills that are afflicting the we could say the evangelical church or conservative mainline Protestantism, however we want to put a label on that. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are of the small C Catholic denominations that write into, and they comment the same thing. And you know, I this is a plague on our country. And of course, it's every nation has some form of a 501c3. I have done a complete 180 on this 501c3 in the last 5-6 years, and I wish it was done away with. We would really see who real Christians are, mm-hmm. and this sickness of a lot of these mega churches and this pop, you know, easy believism or pop psycho Christianity, mm-hmm. it would go away, because we would yeah. find there are, in any given town on any Sunday morning, there are all kinds of hotel, meeting rooms, civic centers. Might be tough to get a church service in a civic center, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
They could have large crowds if they really grew, and a big banquet meeting room and a lot of many hotels, and then rent you know, enough spaces. They need at least the space and an office strip center, and the funding could go so much better. It's craziness.
I think, you know, I mentioned earlier in today's broadcast during the first hour the form of cognitive bias, confirmation bias, and particularly effort justification. And so when you're part of that whole 501c3 combine, I guess I will call it, for lack of a better term, you get swept up pretty easily. It's easy to see how someone could get swept up in that effort justification form of confirmation bias, where you're participating, and whether you... You know, it makes it more difficult at a minimum to look to view those things and those efforts, or, you know, the activities that go on in an objective fashion. Because, you know, again, who wants to say, you know, they've given their blood, sweat, and tears, money in some cases, to this cause and done it in this way? Who wants to do that and then say, well, you know, I was wrong about that. That was misguided. Nobody wants to do that. And that's what effort justification does. It's a form of confirmation bias.
Yes.
And so I'm agreeing with you that if we would get rid of that, then we would see, you know, what is actually happening. Are we, you know, are we actually living by the courage of our convictions and doing those things without some avenue being carved out by large multinational interests and international industrialists back in the beginning?
Well, I think true supporters, true participants of that, whatever flavor or whatever local church community that is, would be just like donors to RBN. I mean, we don't get a tax deduction, but we donate to RBN because we believe in what RBN is doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we would see that among true Christians, that we would see really godly pastors and congregants and churches rise up and could really make a difference.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think also, you know, you think of somebody once said, I think it was in the Red Letter, something to the effect of, you know, store up your treasures in heaven versus verily, verily, I say unto you, you have your reward kind of thing.
Amen. That's verily, verily, that's another one of the therefores.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, it's good talking with you. I like your show, and you have a good day.
You too, Harold. Much appreciated. Thanks for the call. And thanks for your listenership as well. Just trying to hold the line in America, you know, the best parts of what we were given. So in the interest of time, back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The last caller, I think he nailed it. I've talked to several pastors.
It's one of those mic drop things, right? We can just walk away now and say, that's it. We did it.
Well,
that's all.
I've talked to a couple pastors and actually told them they might consider surrendering their 501c3 and see who really wants to meet with God. It may mm-hmm. be in someone's backyard or barn or at the creek, because the time's coming when Christians are going to be in hiding. We're going to have to be covert, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, meeting with God on our own space and time, and bringing others to Him quietly. Because I think it's coming, Chris.
Chuck Missler used to, toward the end of his, whatever you call it, what he was doing on Tuesday nights, in particular at K-House, he used to talk about how the contemporary Christian church in America would probably end up going underground pretty soon.
Well, and I think that's reasonable. I mean, think about what happened, you know, the whole idea of one mediator between God and man. Who took the credit for that? Who said that originally? I think it was Caesar, wasn't it? And then Paul basically signed his own death warrant by usurping Caesar and replacing it with Christ Jesus. If I remember church history correctly, that's basically mm-hmm. what happened. So anyway, to get back with what you're talking about with architecture and the arch and whatnot, you know, Chris, it's amazing. Every major city that I've been in, and really Nashville and the surrounding area in particular, have all got monuments. For instance, just for those that may not know, Centennial Park in Nashville has an exact replica of the Parthenon of Pericles, mm-hmm. including a gigantic statue, gold-plated, holding a sword. When you open the door, the first thing you see is this, I think it's like 20-foot-tall statue, gold-plated, forget how many pounds of gold, with her hand open, and the little god Nike standing in her palm, basically saying, just do it, the goddess of war. you know, depicting this battle between chimeric animals and centaurs and whatnot. And they say, well, it's just Greek architecture. Well, that's just someone's Greek nightmare. That's mythology. And you got to wonder, Chris, who would spend the time at the Acropolis, no less, to create a temple and then do bas-relief on top of the temple, and then thousands of years later in Nashville for the centennial of the state, erect a monument. We're actually called the Athens of the South. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Memphis, and they've got the pyramid, and you go to Dallas, and they've got a half-finished replica, if I'm not mistaken, of the Tower of Babel in Dallas. All of this stuff going on. And yeah, we're concerned when we see Baphomet being paraded around the country. But we look at Greek architecture at every capital that has a dome, and you go to the rotunda in the Capitol in Washington, and you look up, and lo and behold, what do you see? The apotheosis of Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington being depicted as becoming a god in this hands-in-the-air quotations being Christian nation. You know, we're seeing the architecture. Isn't it beautiful, those Corinthian columns, Roman columns, Roman architecture, war memorials? Isn't that great to have a war memorial?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Every capital in this country has a dome on top, and when you look on top of the dome, what do you see? Some pagan god, whether it's Janus or some other Greek god, in this Christian nation at the capital of every state, including Washington, D.C. We are a fallen nation. We are
Well, I think probably the best comprehensive synopsis on that from, I don't know, what I would call an unimpeachable witness in the discussion is Tex Mar's Mysterious Monuments.
Well, I've been to many capitals, and I love going to the Capitol because it's like, let's go see what the enemy's up to. For the bicentennial folks of Nashville, Tennessee, of the state of Tennessee, they built a mall that is nothing more from the air than a Masonic compass, but it's actually a giant ancient seal of Solomon, and the Masonic compass, the circle on the top of the compass, is a clarion, bells that play all day long. If you have enough money, they'll let you go play it if you make a big enough contribution. Nashville's capital is on a hill. At the base of the hill is the mall. To the east of the capital is the Colosseum where the Titans play. Nashville is a depiction, Chris, of ancient Pergamus, but nobody realizes it. It's all around us. I would venture to say that Idaho and Montana and California and Utah and the Arch in St. Louis, what is that? Well, that's the gateway to the West. What's a gateway, folks? We're a fallen nation. We have turned our back on God.
Yeah. It's a spiritual condition, you know, getting back to everything that's been said today, you know, from what Pat said to what Harold said to what you're saying, we know it's a spiritual condition. I would say, I want to play that clip that I mentioned of Tony Evans, you know, to his credit, to paraphrase what he said, when you love God more, you hate sin more. And you're not, it's not so much the consequence you're worried about, it's the breaking God's heart. And, you know, he mentions Joseph, the example of Joseph and, you know, Potiphar's wife, trying to seduce him essentially, and him saying, you know, how could I sin against God and do this, was the love part. I guess we're headed into a break. I'll finish that thought and we'll continue on when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
There's a lot more to this discussion. You know, we could go on. Not, you know, you're talking about the what I would generally categorize as mysterious monuments again. But I mean, getting back to the pastoral community, you know, I mean, to Harold's point, you know, there's also the issue of the hireling. If we take the institutionalization of, you know, 501c3, et cetera, out, then we'll find out who will probably, you know, see a delineation between sheep and goats, wheat and chaff. You know, who's the hireling, who's, you know, in the analogy of the chicken and the pig, who's serious and who's committed, so to speak.
Absolutely, because when it comes down to no heat in the winter, no air in the summer, in a barn that's uninsulated or near a creek that's got some cold water, and you're doing it hiding, hoping you don't get caught,
mm-hmm.
you got to mean it or you're not going to show up.
I think there's an element of that that's been anticipated, though, and that's where the book The Union Jack comes in, and this idea of feigned persecution. So that's a separate discussion, but I think, you know, that's not without anticipation by, you know, adversarial or oppositional elements. So,
but to get back to it, yeah, it's mysterious monuments, and I didn't necessarily mean to go there, but we can look all over the world, and we can see it. Mm-hmm. But when it's in our face, we can't see it. For instance, one more thing, and then I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Detroit, and my mother used to have to go downtown. We'd ride the bus. We went to the city county building. This beautiful statue in front of the city county building of Prometheus with fire in his hand. Mm-hmm. He's sitting with his legs crossed, you know. I didn't know who Prometheus was, but I thought it looked pretty cool as a 10-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And behind Prometheus, on the wall of the city county building, was a verse from Colossians. I don't remember what the verse was. But isn't it interesting that a quotation from Colossians was on the building, and directly in front of the quotation was a giant gold-colored bronze, probably, or brass, probably 20 feet tall statue of Prometheus in verse from Colossians in the Motor City.
I mean, that is the ultimate irony. If you understand, you know, people understand what you're talking about. That is like in the center of the crosshairs of the issue that I've been trying to bring to light recently about how the Kabbalistic, Swedenborgian, theosophical contingent is not averse to quoting the Bible. In fact, they like doing it. You know, you read Pike and some of these other folks, they do that, but it's in a very Gnostic sort of fashion. And that's precisely
what took priority over the Bible verse. Prometheus was literally overshadowing the Bible.
Right.
Which is what they're doing. They're mixing light and dark. And according to the Bible, they have no fellowship. You're either hot or cold. You're either black or white. There is no gray area, folks. If you got gray, you got sin. There is no gray area.
Absolutely.
That's just this truck driver in Tennessee. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Well, if you don't have absolute, it could be the best that you can do. And I'm not telling you that I have all truth. I can tell you I'm seeking the absolute truth. I'm seeking Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But if you give 99.9% truth and you have 1/10, 1% intentional lie, you have adulterated truth, which means it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
truth and lie. And a little leaven leavens the whole loaf.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to stay on track.
Mm-hmm. And again, right back to Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you understand what you just explained and you understand that the book of Colossians targets squarely the issue of Gnosticism and these influences of Jewish legalism, Jewish mysticism, Greek philosophic speculation, Oriental mysticism, and, you know, all of the what have come to be the Gnostic esoteric traditions, you know, carrying on this Kabbalistic influence from age to age, and the theosophical influence is what it is today, the ancient mystery wisdom, then you understand that what you just described is open warfare, essentially. It's spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
Right out in plain sight.
Well, not only that, Chris, look, I hear the music. One more holdover, if you don't mind.
Yep. Yeah. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Go ahead, John. You still have John? I don't know what happened, John, but I don't hear you. I don't know if anyone else does. Not sure if we... I guess we lost John. Thanks for your call, John. Much appreciated. A couple of things before we go back to the phones. Quickly, to sort of validate what's been mentioned most recently on today's broadcast, I mean, there's all that other stuff that we have heard about and seen over the past, I don't know, in the post 9/11 era, shall we say, you know, clergy response team. Speaking of the 501c3 stuff, you know, it is a gateway for this kind of malfeasance too. There was an article at The Nation. I forget who wrote it. It's gone, obviously. It's 404. Oops, that page can't be found. We're sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. That page never existed. Deploying informants. The FBI stings Muslims. But it's that was a model. I guess that article pierced the veil a little bit too much because it spoke to the archetype of Gladio B, obviously, and how this is happening in mosques, but not just mosques. You know, so speaking of the clergy response teams and pastoral crisis intervention and all this stuff that's been going on in the post 9/11 era that we've heard about, you know, every once in a while we get a memo from FEMA or DHS or DOJ or something that targets Christians pretty squarely, right? People who, you know, radical fundamentalists who think America is great and love their country, that's just crazy. So you have things like the Criminal Informant Program, you have COINTELPRO, you know. That article at The Nation was a great article, and I wish that it was still published. Anyway, there's all kinds of other stuff to say on that, but, you know, you can hardly find these. You can hardly find this stuff anymore. There's an article over at WJTV. Posted back in 2017, pastors received church security training from Mississippi Homeland Security and Gaming Commission. Okay. This kind of stuff has been going on, and it's a gateway. There's obviously more to say on that. I'll sort of leave it at that. But two things, you know, as far as the monuments and stuff is concerned, Paul, who is, I would say, as well qualified to weigh in on this subject matter as anyone ever was. I'm reminded of Acts 17, you know, Paul at the Areopagus saying, "Men of Athens, I observe that you're very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God," you know, just in case they missed any. So he says, "Therefore, what you worship in ignorance," not really, I'm being facetious. Obviously, this is, you know, I've talked about it before. Anyway, "therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I will proclaim to you," he says, which is bold. That is really bold. But the final word on all of it, I would say, came from Jesus. He said in John 16, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Why? He says, "Because I have overcome the world." John's back. John, welcome back. Go ahead.
Wow, man. I was amen and you, man. Just one more quick story, and then I promise I'll get off. Mm-hmm. I actually went to art. I was studying to be an architect. I've got 3 years architectural training. Decided I didn't want to do it. So I'm in Nashville. I'm driving down the road, and I see this place called the Adventure Science Center. And oddly, it resembles Stonehenge. So being architecturally minded, I looked up the architectural firm, and I called Huck Hinton Architecture, big place in Nashville. I find out that they have all of the new major buildings for the last 30, 40 years in Nashville. Huck Hinton has designed and drawn the plans. All of them. So I actually contacted the guy that drew up the plans for the Adventure Science Center. And I asked him out point blank, you know, first of all, I complimented him. I said, "Boy, you guys are good, you know." I built up his ego. And I said, "Am I wrong in saying that this is a replica of the Stonehenge?" And he says, he chuckles and he says, well, in fact, it is. And I said, well, you got a six-sided pyramid on top. Am I to believe that you believe Stonehenge had a pyramid on top? He said, in fact, we do. I said, well, let me ask you this. Is it pointed in any celestial pattern? Is it set on certain lines? Is it positioned in a specific direction? And he laughed out loud and he said, in fact, it's pointing to Orion's belt. And he was flattered. He said, you know, you're the only one that's ever asked me that. He said, in fact, I've got a 10-page PowerPoint. I'd be happy to email it to you. And he emailed me his blueprints, PowerPoint, showing me how it was set under Orion's belt. Okay, so people, there is a reason that they have a company of men and women that are called city planners. And if your building does not fit the city plan, it's not going to be built. Take that right to the bank. Everything that's done, mm-hmm, nothing happens by accident.
And it's so easy to hide this.
Cities.
Yeah, it's so easy to hide that in, you know, mm-hmm, the esoteric, in the profane, so to speak. It's so easy to hide it out in plain sight, because the folks who are ignorant of it will dismiss it and say, "Oh, that's crazy! It's crazy. What do you know about
that's
it?
Really,
what
it really looks neat. They want the Music City Center in Nashville. I promised I'd leave. The Music City Center has a rooftop garden. It's almost like, you know, what, and no, they're not hanging gardens, but it's almost like, for me, is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yeah,
okay, rooftop
absolutely
gardening. In Nashville, Nakash in Hebrew is serpent. Two letters, mm-hmm, of Nakash are N-A. The last two are S-H. Nashville, Serpent City. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But if you don't have eyes to see and you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to hear the spirit and you're not going to see what they're telling you, mm-hmm, all around you.
Right.
So pray for discernment. If you don't know Jesus Christ, ask him to reveal himself to you, accept him, and then pray for the Holy Spirit. And your eyes will open, you'll have understanding, you'll have great peace, and the fear of death evaporates. Nobody wants to die, but I can understand to die really is gain. I'm not in a hurry to do it, although I'm looking forward to it, because this is a schoolhouse that we're in a skin suit, and your life is your school. That's why you're here. Anyway, I promise I'd leave, so goodbye.
Appreciate it. Well said. Thanks for the call and the call back, John. Much appreciated. You know, the only other thing I'll say about that is, you know, that the last part that John was saying is precisely why I read from Manly Palmer Hall's The Secret Destiny of America recently, because architecture, you know, I mean, I mentioned that, you know, what Hall said about architecture being the means by which to pass these things, these hidden things along right out in plain sight. I won't get back into that. Chapter 7, I believe, in particular, the democratic tradition preserved by secret societies is where you really start to find that for anyone who's interested. Before we go back to the phones, I want to play the Tony Evans clip that I was talking about. Speaking of the punishment versus the more noble motivation, I guess is one way to put it. Anyway, Tony Evans said it. Go ahead, please.
But verse 8 says, he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all things that he owns in my charge. And now he gives the zinger. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? He has now been solicited by Mrs. Potiphar. He's been solicited for a sexual relationship. She's come right out and said it. Verse 10 says, and she came to him day after day. So she's not going to leave him alone. And there's no place he can go because he works there. But Joseph says no. And there are two reasons we say no to temptation when we do. One is fear of consequences. That's the negative reason. We don't want the reprisal that could take place. And so the negative reason is, even if I want to do it, I won't do it because I don't want the consequences of having done it. So the fear of consequences. Joseph knew that everything had been placed under his hand, and he knew that is being that could be jeopardized here. But then he gives the positive reason and the dominant reason. He gives it at the end of verse 9. He says, how then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Here it is, and we all need to learn this principle. The reason we sin more is because we love God less. People who love God hate sin and hurt when they do it. People who don't love God get over the hump. Joseph didn't sin because he valued his relationship. He did not want to displease God. He did not want to unravel the God who had brought him to this place of blessing, even as a slave. And one of the reasons God allows detours to become extended is development has not occurred enough for us to choose him over the most enticing things in our lives.
That's pretty heavy stuff, I would say. It's Friday. It's a little heavier than usual, but you know, it's really not heavy. It's just straight to the point. Anyway, that was that, and probably won't have time to get back to the Elijah story. Maybe we'll return to that later. But in the interest of time, back to the phones, Brian in Washington. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, Brian.
Traditionally, Friday is call-in option day, so I needed to address Dan in Washington, who called earlier in the week. I guess that we need to fire our brains up and realize that we are being played, in my opinion. Of course, we're going to need to others to work together with each other, like-minded, that are trying to accomplish something, but the use of the word community in this world is just a huge red flag. It absolutely needs to be drop-kicked, in my opinion. It is not our word. So, yeah, I would encourage Dan to contact me anytime he would like to discuss this further. This has been a huge battle to get people to realize that there is a world takeover underway. It is not communism. It is not capitalism. And Lark would say, or you could just put in parentheses fascism. If you want to call it capitalism, you're really needing to define what is the other part of the equation. These two are being blended together to a new form of global governance, but nobody's telling us what it is. And the media, you know, talk about the subject constantly, but never mention the word. That is not by accident. They're going to.
But again, the challenge is it's a term of art. You know, it's a term of art that, you know, we've talked about this many times. I always come back to the fact that it's a term of art. What does it mean? It's a very slippery, effusive sort of term that, you know, means whatever the person, the philosopher king wielding it says that it means in the moment. And it's used to confuse people. And I would say in that context that I mentioned specifically, to lead people to believe that it's too complicated for you to understand, Brian. Sorry, you need to listen to the philosopher kings who tell you what it means, and therefore you should respond in kind, whatever that means. And it's a reflexive term, for Pete's sake. You know, it means whatever we're constantly redefining it to mean, and that means that, you know, your behavior is constantly in a state of flux as you're trying to toe the line.
It's a slippery thing to be trying to figure out. Yes,
and that's why it's much more effective than the old isms. It's the commingling. You know, it's the amalgamation of all the worst isms, all the worst of all the worst isms. And it's worse than just that. It would be one thing if it was a static commingling or amalgamation of, you know, the worst of the world socialist state vision of the Fabians, or, you know, communism or fascism, you know, Fordism, or what we have come to think, you know, as capitalism. It would be one thing if it was just a static thing, but it's not. That's the other thing. It's all of those things, but it's moving. It's a dynamic term that's used to move the agenda along. That's, I think, one of the most nefarious aspects of the communitarian term of art.
So Jenna put up in your chat room, you know, and this would be for somebody like Dan in Washington who just can't wrap his brain around what I just said. So if you want, Dan, there's a just out documentary, 3-4 months old, Foster Gamble and Catherine Austin Fitz, discussion on the Thrive Economy. A worldview series from globalist tyranny to a thriving economy. We have to have the Hegelian problem reaction solution. They have to come up with the solution. It's over 2.5 hours.
Which again, yeah, that, I mean, that's an essential component. That dialectical element is essential to the communitarian term of art and the modus operandi that underlies it. And if we, you know, again, everything we've been talking about today, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If we get back to a didactic form of thinking, which is somewhat redundant, then we see things like that term of art and its modus operandi right from the get-go. When you understand that there's a different way to think and live instead of this reactionary opportunities of crisis nonsense all the time, and you can see in things that Bill Gates says and all of the things that these people say, you know, we're sort of headed headlong off the cliff toward a society that operates precisely in that fashion constantly, unless we get our feet planted firmly on the ground and say that's not a normal way to live. Sometimes the house catches on fire by some kind of accident, but not every day. That's not a normal occurrence.
So my hope is, you know, a 2.5-hour documentary would be a lot to ask someone to listen to, but the last hour, I think they say the word community in their solution at least 50 times. This is for Dan to, you know, realize if he wants to follow these gurus, that's his option, remembering that Foster Gamble is the heir to the Procter & Gamble fortune, who did both Thrive 1 and 2 documentaries from 2011, I think, way back. Anyway, and then Jenna also put up, when we were listening to David Debine, he is Adapt 2030, popular survival prepper, blah, blah. He's talking to Clive DeCarli, who is recently interviewed on RBN as well. In that, they link to a a documentary called The Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil from 06. So here we have again, the world's all going to change, and the solution is going to be the community. So these things need to be noted, and especially who is saying this or implying that we have a peak oil, and that is, you know, next they'll be saying the science is in on climate change, we got it all figured out, because
right. Peak,
and we have to be careful of these people, and they're being considered a guru status. They have very questionable linkages.
Right. Trust but verify. We got
go ahead.
One more call I want to get to, so
thanks so much, Chris. Have a fine Friday.
Brian.
Right now.
And hopefully no one's putting words in anyone's mouth. I'm for some reason I'm of the mind that we're a lot closer on a lot of these things than maybe we might realize sometimes, which is why I played the Tony Evans clip. Anyway, you know, and there are wolves in sheep's clothing, there are Judas goats, there are things like that, not all intentional. I thought it was interesting. Speaking of controlled opposition, PBS NewsHour recently did a piece you can find on YouTube, Tucker Carlson's Influence and His Increasingly Extreme Views, Controlled Opposition. Back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I really appreciate your presentation. Sadly, I had to say this. Other, quote, spiritual hosts on this RBN operate with a little bit of contention. So I'm not hearing the words, come let us reason together, or if you're not one, you're not mine. I mean,
I always think that you know, is dripping with irony when, you know, God says that through Isaiah, because God's the only one who can reason. We're just sheep. So good luck, right?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm really grateful to my parents because I grew up with a beautiful, kindly face of Christ by Hoffman, a 2x3 foot picture in our living room, and actually a smaller rendition in my bedroom. So I grew up with the desire to please him. So I looked for a profession where I might do the best in terms of emulating Christ as he healed the sick. So I went into pathology. But the sad thing is, as I worked in that profession, I found out that that profession had been, how to say, hijacked by the sorceries, the priests and the priestcrafters of that profession. So, but I have had opportunity, thanks to the Lord, to provide blessing to 34 million. So I'd like to talk to you personally offline and tell you why I use the Bible as my physician's desk reference instead of the AMA. I mean, it is sad what we have been told and made to believe, whereas the answers are truly in the Scriptures. And not just the Bible,
that.
But the additional. So when you get a chance, Chris, would you call me? Since I'm blind, I paid the price for being a whistleblower. Go to Tom.
We're out of time.
TomInUtah.com.
We'll do, Tom. Thank you, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. Hug a mom. Appreciate a mom, maybe your mom. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Carcass drop and lift, an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.